Welcome, everyone. I'm Marilyn Stern, Associate Fellow at the Forum, and I'll be your chair. Today we're pleased to welcome Jonathan S. Tobin, Senior Online Editor for Commentary Magazine, as well as writer for their website blog, Contentions. Prior to his joining Commentary in 2009, Jonathan was Editor-in-Chief of Philadelphia's Jewish Exponent newspaper since 1998, after moving to the area from his previous position as editor of the Connecticut Jewish Ledger. Jonathan's garnered numerous press awards for his editorial and journalistic excellence, and his work is syndicated in newspapers around the world. Today, Jonathan will be offering his remarks about the implications for the Middle East of Obama's foreign policy team, Hagel, Brennan, and Kerry. We'll get started. Jonathan?
Thank you, Marilyn, and thank you to the Middle East Forum for inviting me to talk with you today. I'll have a few remarks, and hopefully we can have a lively discussion about this. Obviously, speaking as we are on a day when President Obama arrived in Israel, our discussion of his new foreign and defense policy team has to be colored in part by that. I should add before I go further, I hope everybody's hearing me well. We've had a little problem with the phones here, so bear with me. I'm getting a little feedback myself at the moment. So, and anyway, we'll go on and hopefully make the best of it. Anyway, first of all, you know, let's discuss what has happened. After 4 years with one foreign policy team, he is now, President Obama has been reelected. Sparking fear on the part of many who were worried about the mistakes he made in his first term, and hope, frankly, on the part of some who may see this as an opportunity for him, who hope this would be the opportunity for him to take the United States in an even in a direction where he will go even farther to downgrade the alliance with Israel, to appease Iran, and to really basically take us even further back from the position that he had when he arrived. I think the appointments of Chuck Hagel as Secretary of Defense, as John Brennan at the CIA, and John Kerry at the State Department would seem to fit in with those hopes and fears, because they are, whatever we may have thought of the previous team of Secretary of State Clinton, Leon Panetta, who had been at Defense, before that he had been at CIA, and before that Robert Gates at Defense. And we, you know, that seemed to be sort of a team of adults, of people who were at least cognizant of America's security needs and of its needs to stand with its allies, as much as they might have been more realists than people who were believed in a stronger forward American foreign policy. This new group would seem to be a step back away from even where they were. But we also should remember something, as much as we can go into these three new people and what effect they will have. The most important thing you have to remember about this administration is that there really are no centers of power other than in the West Wing. This is probably the most top-down administration in terms of setting policy that we've had in more than a generation. Barack Obama, you know, is his own Secretary of Defense and maybe his own Secretary of State, and while I can't say he's his own CIA director, he has really set policy. I mean, as much as Hillary Clinton got an adoring press, there wasn't a single instance that I know of that anybody can point to where she had her own way, where she influenced things in a direction away from Obama and his inner circle. Indeed, she seemed to spend most of her time trying to wheedle her way into that inner circle with varying success. So as much as we really are going to focus on these personalities, and I think we do so understandably, the man that we have to worry about, the man that we have to rely upon, remains the fellow who was elected president in 2008 and reelected last November. It's Barack Obama. And that's the curious thing about the situation we're in today. Barack Obama has painted himself into what I would call a rhetorical corner on the two main issues which I'm going to focus on. There are a host of issues we can talk about in terms of foreign policy, but let's stick to the Middle East peace process and Iran. And on both, as much as he spent his first term, wasted his first term really in feckless attempts to engage the Iranians and to engage in really pointless dead-end diplomacy, and as much as he spent these 4 years, for the most part, trying to tilt the diplomatic playing field in the direction of the Palestinians, he's now arrived at a point where he has pretty much committed himself to the policies, almost you could say, of the first George W. Bush administration, which is startling. In fact, maybe even further in some ways. He arrived in Israel today saying not a word about the Palestinians, although I'm sure we'll hear more from him about that tomorrow, and indeed reaffirming not only the alliance between the two countries and stating that it was eternal, he actually used the word eternal, but talking about 3,000 years of Jewish history. I mean, it was a very Zionist speech. There's no getting around it. He's also upped the rhetoric about Iran to the point where really he doesn't have a lot of alternatives. As much as people are right to be skeptical, and he's given us good reason to be skeptical about his resolve to deal with the Iranian nuclear threat, he's pretty much left himself no wiggle room on how to get himself out of it other than through some diplomatic solution that doesn't appear to be in the cards. So having said that, let's look at these three people. John Kerry, a longtime senator, and notable mainly in terms of foreign policy for, number one, his desire to someday be Secretary of State, but also to be the friend of dictators. He's the one who said Assad was a moderate, might be our friend. Someone who believes in multilateralism and the UN almost the way other people believe in religion. And also with a little signs of the hubris of someone who would like to solve the Middle East, always a danger sign. In Chuck Hagel, he's someone certainly I've written a lot about over these last few months, but clearly, as well as not being particularly competent, he is also someone who is he adheres to sort of the old realist line of thought, which is an extremely unrealistic view of Iran. He was a firm advocate of almost never using force, and of believing in outreach to not only Iran but to Hamas and Hezbollah. Someone who had very little respect for the United States-Israel alliance as well. And in John Brennan, and I think this is an even more important point, we had someone who, as security advisor in the White House, clearly was a moving force, and I have to give some discredit as well to Secretary of State Clinton, to a real policy of appeasement towards the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and of a lack of resolve against fighting jihad and of a very soft approach to the war on terror. If you look at this group, you have to say that the second term is going to be a dark time for those of us who care about U.S. security, those of us who care about the U.S.-Israel alliance, and for those who hope that the United States will act to head off the threat of a nuclear Iran. And yet, I have to point out that Barack Obama, as well as Vice President Biden, continues to paint himself into a corner. If you listen to him, he's left himself no room to get out of the commitment to stop Iran and even to say that there is some limit to diplomacy. So we're left with more questions than answers. We're right to be skeptical. President Obama has given us good reason to be skeptical of his good intentions as well as his principles. But you judge people, I know in Judaism we judge people by their deeds, not so much by their beliefs. So he's going to have an opportunity to see if they if this country is going to do the right thing on Iran. And it may well that he has learned some of his learned from some of his mistakes as far as the Middle East peace process. That may be a little optimistic. But I have to say, on a day like today, when he said what he said in Israel, it's hard not to be even for someone like myself, who, as those who read me regularly know, is a pretty consistent critic of Obama and his foreign policy and his foreign policy team. It's hard not to be at least a trifle optimistic that the worst, not only that the worst may not happen, but that the United States may actually make good on its commitments and be a faithful ally and defend its security as well as that of its allies. So on that somewhat hopeful note, let's open it up and discuss it further. Thank you.